Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our message for the first Sunday in Lent is based on today's Old Testament reading, the story of Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah, especially this verse. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." When I tell people that I grew up in Kansas, they almost always say something like, "Oh, I drove across there once. Boy, it sure is flat." That impression people get about Kansas is partly due to where they put Interstate 70, across the flattest part of Kansas, where, of course, it would be easiest to build. But I admit that Kansas is not known for its mountains. Some years ago, there was a mountaineer who climbed to the highest point in every state. Of course, that was quite a feat in mountainous states like Alaska and Colorado. But when he got to the top of Mount Sunflower, the highest point in Kansas, located near Goodland, he was greeted by a high school band and a Boy Scout troop who had just walked up the other side. Although Kansas is not known for its mountains, a few miles north of Canton, Kansas, where I grew up, there is a pair of hills that are fairly large by Kansas standards, and they sure looked like mountains to me when I was a boy. They are known in that area as the Twin Mounds because they're right beside each other and almost identical in size and shape. When I was a kid, my friends would bike out and spend all day playing and exploring around the Twin Mounds. Like the Twin Mounds north of Canton, the Bible also has its own Twin Mounds, Mount Sinai and Mount Calvary. Like one of the mountains in Alaska or Colorado, Mount Sinai was a large, rugged, full-fledged mountain in the desert badlands of the Sinai Peninsula. At Mount Sinai, the Lord Almighty gave his holy law through Moses with great majesty and awe. As the book of Exodus reports, there was thunder and lightning, a thick cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear and stayed at a distance. The thunder and trumpet blast at Mount Sinai represent the demands and commands of God's law, which we have all failed. The fire and smoke on Mount Sinai represent eternal damnation in hell, which we all deserve because of our sin. The one symbol that sums up Mount Sinai is the two tablets of the law by which we are condemned to damnation. But the good news is there is another mountain in Scripture, a twin mound to Mount Sinai, Mount Calvary. The one symbol that sums up Mount Calvary is the cross by which you are forgiven and granted salvation and eternal life. God said to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Geographically, Mount Moriah refers to the entire range of hills on which Jerusalem is built. On the east side of Jerusalem is Mount Zion, on which the ancient temple stood, where lambs and other animals were sacrificed. On the west side of Jerusalem, just outside the ancient city walls, was Mount Calvary, on which God sacrificed his own son. Mount Zion and Mount Calvary are only about a third of a mile apart. Peaks on other side of Jerusalem in the range of Mount Moriah. It's very significant that Mount Moriah, Mount Zion, and Mount Calvary are essentially all the same place. Because the story in today's Old Testament reading of Abraham nearly sacrificing his son Isaac on Mount Moriah is prophetic, pointing forward to God carrying out the son sacrifice of his son on Mount Calvary, and also prophetic of Christ's sacrifice were the sacrificial lambs slaughtered in the ancient temple nearby on Mount Zion. Abraham prophetically told Isaac, God himself will provide the lamb. And some 2,000 years later, John the Baptist identified who that ultimate sacrificial lamb is when he pointed out Jesus and declared, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Abraham nearly sacrificing Isaac, the sacrificial lambs being slaughtered in the temple, God finally sacrificing his own son. All of this took place on that same holy hill. Like the twin mounds north of Canton, the twin mounds in Scripture are Mount Sinai and Mount Moriah, Zion, Calvary. On Mount Sinai, God thundered his law and the damnation we deserve. But through the prophetic actions of Abraham nearly sacrificing his son Isaac, and the lambs prophetically sacrificed in the ancient temple, through them God proclaimed the gospel, the promise of a Savior who would sacrifice himself for us and our salvation. On Mount Calvary, God fulfilled the promise. At the last moment, Isaac was spared. But as St. Paul says in today's epistle reading, God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. The book of Hebrews compares these twin mounds of Scripture, Mount Sinai and Mount Moriah, Zion, Calvary. It compares them this way. You have not come to a mountain that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it beg that no further words be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to his sprinkled blood. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, The fire and wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb. Paul explains in 1 Corinthians, Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed for us. And Peter says, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the Lamb of God who was offered up for you. We remember especially during the Lenten season, which we are now beginning today, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, his suffering and death for you. The good news of Lent is that by his sacrifice, your sins are all forgiven. As the book of Hebrews says, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. On Mount Sinai, the Lord provided his holy law, which shows us our sin. On Mount Moriah, the Lord provided a ram to sacrifice in place of Isaac, pointing forward to Mount Calvary, where the Lord provided the Lamb of God to sacrifice in your place. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who by his sacrifice makes you holy in God's sight. The Lamb of God who redeemed you by his blood. Like one of the mountains in Alaska or Colorado, Mount Sinai was a large, rugged, full-fledged mountain. Geographically, Mount Calvary was probably more like Mount Sunflower, a little hill outside the city wall. But that little hill is really the greatest mountain in all history. For it was there that God provided us with what we need most, a Savior. It was on Mount Calvary that the prophecy of old was fulfilled. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Amen.